This is the Sexual Inclusion Network. With your host, Christiane Bella. Sin is in.
All right, and let us bring on Gaia. Hello. Can you hear me now? I think I don't hear anything. Yes, I clicked you in. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's not showing anything. I'm going to... Hang on here. Okay, we are going to try to disconnect and reconnect with Miss Gaia. So let me just recap with you all here. I am Christiane Bella, and again, this is Sexual Inclusion Network. We are live on Blog Talk Radio. So Blog Talk Radio is a great opportunity for you to call in old school style. It is a call-in radio show, and I will actually add the number here. For you to call in, the number is 319-527-6205. You can call in. So yes, you can call in and talk to us. You can ask us questions, share stories. We are waiting for our guest Gaia Morissette to join us. There was a little technical glitch there where we were not able to hear each other. So hopefully we will be able to get her back on in a moment and have her join the conversation. I am super excited to talk to her. So yes, Gaia is the creator of Succulent Living, and she has her own podcast, My Orgasmic Life. I am thrilled to get to talk with her. I'm sure if you follow my page, you've seen I've been sharing a lot of her stuff. She's an amazing resource of intelligence and sexual energy and magic and awesomeness. So I'm super excited to talk with her. I'm also really excited because we are actually going to be moving this radio show to a different avenue. We are going to be using... I'm going to do this one more time. See if that helps. We are going to be using Voice America. So Voice America has picked up my show, and we will be launching with Voice America on September 25th. So yes, we are super excited about that. That is just like super thrilling. Cannot wait for that to happen. And the reason why I was excited to bring Gaia on is we have so many overlaps with the way we approach our work, specifically in BDSM and wellness. And I can't wait to talk to her about that, and replying that she cannot get on. Okay. All right. So yes, hoping we can get, oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. I think this is it. I think we've got it. We got it. We got it. Let's see. Fingers crossed. Gaia, can you hear me now? Dude, what the heck? Gaia. I see you, and I clicked the thing, and I don't know why it is not going live, but this is why we're leaving Blog Talk Radio and we're moving to Voice America, because Blog Talk Radio technical issues suck. The big fat one. So that's why we are not going to be using them anymore. Oh my gosh. Okay. I don't know why that is not working. Damn it. Okay. Hopefully the new link I just sent her will work. I'm so sorry, everyone. Tech shit. What can I tell you? It is a total bummer. But like I said, that is why we're going to be moving to Voice America in September, because they have engineers and tech people. So there will not be any of these issues with Voice America. Okay, hopefully she can get back in. I just sent her a new link. Gaia, if you're still watching, I sent you a new email link. Hopefully that one will work and we can get you in. And I'm so sorry for our tech issues. So this has been a super exciting week because I got the news from Voice America that we'll be moving over there. So that's awesome. And let's see what else has been going on. I'm on the hunt for a new vibrator. If anyone has any vibrator recommendations, I'm open to hear those suggestions. I am in need of a new vibrator. What else is happening? I'm organizing I'm very excited. I'm going to be having a sensual play party for the first time in a long time, since February this weekend. So that'll be my first pre-New World era approach to in-person sexual connection. So that should be interesting. So thank you all for watching. I know a bunch of you popped on and you popped off because we're in the middle of limbo. But for those of you who still are watching, hello and thank you for being here. Let's see what else is happening. That is a fun story while we're waiting for our guests to join us. Here we go. Come on, third time's a charm. Give it to me, baby. What do you got? Hello, Gaia? Son of a bitch. Oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. Hello? Gaia? No. Hello? Gaia? I have no idea why it's not working. I'm so sorry. This is super sucky. Okay, well, shit howdy. Let's see if there's another way for her and I to do this. All right, Facebook Live, I'm going to get back to you in a moment. Weird. I don't know why it's not working. I keep seeing you and it shows that it's connecting to you, but I don't hear you. Obviously, you don't hear me. If you want, we can. I don't know if you would be interested in this is why I'm moving to Voice America. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, thank goodness. Yay.
So I've called in on my cell phone. So, you know, this might cost a fortune, but we got to do what we got to do.
Oh, my goodness. Please let me know. we will figure out a way to compensate. There you
all
go.
Right. So, all right. We'll deal with that later.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. Everybody, people all over the world, join hands and give a clap. Gaia Morissette is with us live. Yay. It finally worked. So welcome. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. How's my sound? Because I'm on my cell phone. Is it okay?
You actually sound really good. Yeah. I would have never known you were on the phone. Yeah. So it's perfect. Is there a delay?
All right.
Okay. We're good. Awesome.
Okay.
So you created Succulent Living, which I'm like, oh my God, that is the juiciest name. I love it. So good.
Well, I wanted to go for juicy. I was like, I want to name my company Juicy, but somebody else took it. So I had to go with Succulent Living instead.
I like it. I like it. It also invokes growth, this idea of like the growing, the succulent plant. So, yeah. So it's twofold. I love that. One of the things that struck me the most about, and I've been just dying to talk to you, is BDSM wellness expert. So let's dive into that, because that is just like so exciting. Tell me, I guess, for our viewers who maybe don't already know BDSM kind of in a nutshell, and then give us your angle on it, on this wellness expert side.
So, so BDSM is all about, you know, there's all these, there's an acronym for it. It's, you know, it stands for bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, master slave. Like there's a whole bunch of, you know, basically at the end of the day, it stands for being kinky. All things that are not vanilla.
There you go.
And so what I found was, it was really interesting how I actually found this wellness aspect of it, was that my own personal journey into BDSM, I used it a lot for my own transformational healing, trauma, reclaiming, you know, old wounds, learning how to surrender and let go of being a control freak, learning how to be, you know, finding safety and what that meant, finding my voice. There's all these places for me personally that I was doing all of this huge transformational growth and basically therapeutic work. Of course, with some happy endings, which always makes it more fun. So, so what ended up happening was, is that I started seeing, I mean, I had, you know, my private practice as a holistic sexual wellness specialist for years. And I had one client in particular who came to see me, and he really wanted to explore, you know, kink and BDSM. And, you know, so I suggested him go find, you know, a dominatrix and, you know, go explore that route and, you know, how I could give all the, you know, things and make sure he had all the safety protocols and all the logistical stuff that he needed to know. And so off he went, and he hired a couple of different pro dominatrix, and he wasn't getting what he needed from it. And so he came to me, and he's like, you know, I really trust you. I really, really trust you. And he's like, would you be willing to go on this journey with me to help me to not only for the exploration side of it, but also for, you know, to help me with my healing journey.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, let's try this out and see what happens. Right. So I dropped into it and I started using basically, you know, cognitive, you know, behavioral therapy, basically reward and punishment concept. Right. So it was like, if you did your homework, you got rewarded. If you didn't do your homework, you got punished. And because we're already wired to do that, right? Like each one of us is programmed already to do that. What was happening is that I'd been working with him for 2 years trying to get his porn addiction under control, his anxiety issues under control, like all of these things. And within two sessions, he was like meditating, going to yoga, doing all of his homework, doing all the things that he needed to do. And it was this huge transformational change that happened for him. And I was like, oh, there's some stuff here. Like, this is powerful. Yeah. This is incredibly powerful. And I don't have to work nearly as hard.
Right?
And my clients don't have to spend as much money because they don't have to see me for as long. Because it's like, get the pieces that need to happen, which is always that struggle of, you know, making those transformational changes, right, into the action pieces. So that's where I kind of started to draw, you know, dive more into that. And then I started to explore it from a place of, okay, so, you know, I have a lot of clients come see me that have trauma. And one of the things that is, you know, the awful byproduct of trauma is that the fact that there is no concept of safety. You've never felt safe. You don't know what safety is. People talk about the importance of safety, and you're like, well, what the fuck is that? So, I'm like, oh, yeah, by the way, am I allowed to swear?
Okay. Oh, you're totally, yeah, you're totally good. Yeah.
Okay. All right, good. So I started to, like, you know, I was like, okay, so what if, you know, when clients were ready, right, to get to that stage, I was like, okay, well, how do I create a safe environment so that they can learn to surrender? And so they know what that surrendering and safety is about, being able to voice what they need, you know, communication, all of this stuff.
Right.
And so I started finding that, you know, I would tie up a client, and we would just tie up a client, and they would be like, okay, this is, you know, terrifying. And we would, like, lean into it, and we would explore it, and they would feel really, really safe. And they were like, wow, okay, so this is what safety feels like. And once they captured the sensation of safety, they then could then take that safety sensation into the all the other areas of their lives. But it was really, really challenging to get them to get to that place, because I had no concept of it. It's like, you know, if you've never seen the sunset, and someone says, oh, you know, the sunset, some people are like, no, I've never seen the sunset. Well, safety is the same thing. And so I found BDSM as a great tool to creating those safe environments so that people can explore that in an controlled environment. So
I absolutely love it. It was such a game changer for me personally, because I, you know, also just, for my own fun and enjoyment. And then I had an experience once where this woman was topping me, and at the end of it, she's like, I want to walk you around and, like, show people, you know, the marks. And I was like, I'm not your friggin' show pony. Like, and then I had this moment where I, like, paused and I, like, sat and, like, well, what is my resistance? And, like, what could be good about this? Like, if I leaned into the discomfort and kind of got past this story that I had. And it was so healing to be like, yes, that's right. I felt this pain. You know, I had all this unrecognized pain throughout my life, and times when people didn't believe I was in pain or something was, you know, uncomfortable. And to get people to, like, see that and acknowledge it and validate it and be like, yes, like, your pain is real and we see it. And I was just like, oh my God, this is it. Like, this is a healing modality. This isn't just, you know, I mean, it is kinky and fun and playful and, you know, but it's also a healing modality, a huge, powerful healing modality. So, I remember, I don't know if you know who Marianne Williamson is. She's like a new agey speaker type person, but she would host these events, and I went to her, one of her events, and I was like, you know, everyone gets to share what they're, you know, working on. And I was like, I'm super excited. I'm going to do yoga and BDSM. And she just looked at me and she's like, I need a moment to, like, pray for you. And I was like, what? I'm like, no, I'm on something. This is genius. Like, what the hell are you talking about? So I love that you saw it too. I love that you were like, no, this is brilliant. Like, clients progress faster. This shit works.
Yep. This shit totally works. Totally works.
Yeah. And I think
and
it is.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's hard for people to wrap their head around the idea because it is such a taboo subject. So, yeah, what were you?
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, when you mentioned the blending of BDSM and yoga, I've blended Tantra and BDSM. And I do this thing called, I have a treatment called Tantric Spanking. And what I found is that, you know, the same state that you go into, so subspace, it's the same space that you go to when you reach that higher states of consciousness in Tantra.
Right.
And I was like, ooh, okay. So what if I use BDSM to speed up that process to get into that place instead of studying, you know, for people to study Tantra for 15 years to get to that place. And again, there was this drastic increase speed of reaching that space. And the space of going into that Zen space basically has this, all these incredible experiences for people. You know, the stillness, the quiet, the insight, the awareness. For me, going to subspace was transformational. It was like mm-hmm. everything was quiet for the first time. My brain's never quiet, right? So it was like everything was so quiet and still, and I didn't mm-hmm. have to worry about anything, which is the same state that I get to when I do meditation.
Right.
So yeah, it's amazing how there's such an overlap if we can let go of the rules, if we can let go of our mm-hmm. expectations or our taboos or our shames or our perspectives on it, and we just surrender to the process of however it is that you get there, you know?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, accepting that they're all forms of energy work, and so therefore they are connected. There really isn't a difference between BDSM and Tantra and meditation, and it's all part of the same garden, you know, and
yeah.
you can absolutely, you know, connect one to the other. And I love that. I definitely believe in this modern time, and I don't want to call them shortcuts, but you know, the express lane, like there's absolutely a need to just be like, yeah, I don't have 15 years to sit on the mountaintop and be peaceful. Like I need to figure this out now. So, you know, getting into that express lane mode of just like, yeah, we can expedite it. And it doesn't lessen or dilute, I think, at all the potency of the effect of things. I feel like if anything, it really shows you how to integrate into your, like you were saying, like into your everyday life. Like, you know, it's not just safety in that context of being in subspace, it's like the rest of your experience being able to carry that with you and feel that same sensation.
And I think the other piece that I really love about BDSM from a therapeutic perspective mm-hmm. is that there's so many spaces and possibilities of trying out different aspects of our personality. So, you know, typically when I'm teaching, I'll be like, okay, so if you're, especially when I'm teaching BDSM stuff, I'm like, okay, if you tend to be a dominant personality type in the world, right. I highly lovingly invite you to join the role of learning what it means to surrender and be submissive, mm-hmm. which will allow you to be a better leader out in the world. If you tend to be more submissive out in the world, here's a great opportunity to find your voice, you know, find how, mm-hmm. you know, your space. You know, to take up space, you know, this is a great way to play out some of those roles. It's like, you know, playing out a new possibility. And because it's not your identity, it's easier mm-hmm. to kind of drop in and explore, you know, what it would be like and how would it, you know, because there's no attachment to all the identity pieces to it. And it's a great way of finding that balance within us, because I truly believe that we all have both submission and dominance within us.
Absolutely. It is definitely an ebb and a flow, because there needs to be gray area. You know, it can't always be black and white. You can have that, those polarities, but at some point it's how you find that way to flow in between the two and to know when is the time to surrender and when is the time to stand up. And I think one of the challenges we fall into in society is that society wants to tell you, this is your box. And mm-hmm. so stay in your box. You know, you've created a persona or a character or whatever it is. And that's it. You know, if you're the boss, then you're always the boss. And it just wears people out. I think like not having that freedom to choose to be fluid, I think our fluidity is just like a vital part of our existence.
Oh yes. I mean, I'm constantly, you know, like as a, you know, overall, I would say I'm incredibly dominant personality type, quite alpha, mm-hmm. right. You know, is part of my, you know, my kind of soul way in which I move. However, I'm the universe's bitch when it comes to my own personal growth and development. The universe is my master, right? And I'm its submissive and I'm its bitch. And so if I want to be in that place of ultimate enlightenment, ultimate, the best version of myself, it's about surrendering and letting go of control. And it's been, that's my own personal journey. It's like, it's constantly like, oh, that's right. Surrender, let go of control. Surrender, let go of control. Surrender. The universe is bitch. The universe is bitch.
I love that. And it's so true. I think that's the part where BDSM... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and the more I lean into that place of that being in the flow, surrendering that place, the more magical my life happens, the more abundance happens for me, the more success happens for me, and the more, the better, how do I want to put this, the better leader I become. So I'm actually not moving from when I lead and I'm in that dominant role, I'm in this place of from a place of love, not from a place of control. And not from a place of needing to have power over. And that, I think, has been the huge shift. The more I've learned to surrender, the better I've become as a leader and a dominant, actually.
Absolutely. And that's where I see if more people embraced the exploration of BDSM, they would find that same sense of peace. I think, you know, this struggle we get into of trying to feel in control of something and struggling with trust. I feel like just, you know, a good BDSM session could really open your eyes to see that universal relationship of trust, of being able to submit comfortably to the divine will and allow yourself to just show up and be led. And you would see, yeah, how much, you know, things just fall into place so organically with so much more ease rather than trying to force and make something happen, which tends to be the, like, go get a mentality that most of us are taught is, like, you know, you have to achieve and make happen. Actually, to the contrary, the less you do, the more you actually get.
Yeah, it is. It's quite beautiful. So those are, you know, some of the big pieces, I think, for me around, you know, the whole idea of, you know, BDSM as a wellness perspective, as a holistic perspective, as a, you know, giving you the opportunities. And then there's also this beautiful piece of having to take responsibility and ownership and communication for what it is that you want and what it is that you need. And I think that's the other beautiful piece that I find is incredibly therapeutic for people, is that often in vanilla sex, we aren't encouraged to communicate and to talk and to ask for what we need. And, you know, we there's all this stuff about assumptions and, you know, seduction and, you know, murky consent and all this kind of stuff, right, in the vanilla world. But one of the things I really love about BDSM is that things are negotiated. There's like, before you play, before there's a scene, everything has worked itself out. You've had conversations. You're like, what are your hard limits? What are your safe words? You know, there's aftercare. Like, there's all these things that are put into place so that everybody feels good about the experience and everybody gets their needs met, no matter whether you're on the bottom, on the bottom or the top. And that is something that is so powerful because we're not actually taught to communicate. We're not taught to ask for it like in the rest of the world, right? We're not supported in being able to say, no, that's a hard limit for me, or yes, that's what I really want, you know? And so I find that that's really another beautiful aspect of BDSM from a therapeutic perspective, is that piece of really learning to figure out who you are, accept who you are, and then communicate that what your needs are to others.
Huge. I mean, I would say that is like 90% of the work that I do with clients is trying to teach them to get specific about what they want and how to ask for that and how to negotiate along the way. Because, yeah, it is so funny. It is just absolutely, I mean, I guess unless you're studying to be a lawyer, this is definitely not something anybody teaches you, how to have these conversations. And it's vital. I've seen it just transform people, again, outside of the world of BDSM, to be able to go forth and say, like, no, I know now what I want. And instead of, you know, just taking whatever comes and settling, that they're really clear And the power of that I've seen in manifestation as well, you know, in really like calling into being, you know, bigger things for your life. Have you seen that overlap at all? Like in sort of a new age, witchy magic sort of way, people using that skill set to manifest things in their life? Or have you ever used it yourself?
Oh, I'm a giant magical being. Everything I do is magic. So every thought, every experience is all about my intentions on a regular basis. So, and you know, so I'm this elemental magical being. So yes, I use it all the time about intentions. What I found with clients is the sacredness, depending on how they move, right? So their sacredness kind of seems to happen with the learning, the surrendering and the trust factor of sharing a very deep, intimate experience with another human being. And so that's one way in which I've really noticed for clients that that's a huge piece of their awakening to, you know, out of the mainstream kind of spiritual belief system. It's also a gateway, like we were talking about the whole subspace, is, you know, can be a gateway to that transcendent space, right? Of knowing everything and being connected to everything and being one with everything. And so there's another piece where I think that drops people into that more sacred space. And then of course, you know, there's the, you know, just being able to, like we were just talking, like being able to identify, well, what is it that I want?
Yeah.
And accepting who I am and setting that intention, because now I can speak, now that I know it, now that I've looked at it, now that I've embraced it, it makes it much easier for me to set my intentions of what I want in my life. What kind of relationship do I want? What kind of job do I want? You know, what kind of relationships do I want with my family? Like all of these things become super easy in comparison to before, because now you've really come to this place of self-acceptance and knowing who you are.
I love that. So we have a caller. If you're ready to take a caller,
yeah,
here we go. Hello, caller.
Hello?
You are on the air.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Long time listener, first time caller here.
love it.
Welcome.
You can stay anonymous if you like, or you're welcome to share your name if you wish.
My name is Billy.
All right, Billy. So do you have a question for our goddess in residence, Gaia Morissette, or did you have a short story you wanted to share with us?
Well, you know, I had something I was dealing with the other night, and I was looking for a little insight, if you don't mind.
Yeah, great. Let's hear it.
Well, I have a friend. She's been a friend for a while, and we've done some playing and, you know, dabbling in BDSM stuff. But the other night, this is a question more about boundaries, I suppose. I've learned a lot about healthy boundaries in the past and when to find my boundary, and hopefully people respect your boundaries. I've been trying to respect other people's, things like that. I noticed the other night, you know, we talk in BDSM about consensual, I guess, hitting, spanking, things like that. And then non-consensual is obviously not good, right? Right. In my personal experience, it was a while ago. Somebody hit me non-consensually, but I ended up going to jail for 12 hours for domestic violence because of it. And it's a difficult subject for me sometimes. During a conversation with this friend, I found out that they had been involved in a situation like that where they had been the one that had done that. And I noticed that when we started talking about that, I kept asking questions, but I noticed I was starting to shake a little bit. I felt like a real hard boundary, you know? And it was a little, I noticed I was, I hate to even use the word triggered, but that's how I felt mm-hmm. at the time. Afterwards, I said, listen, I tried to tell her what was going on, and I said, I think I have to leave because I feel like I'm, I've hit a boundary here, and I need mm-hmm. to go. I wanted to be still friends, and she's a good friend, good part of my big part of my life. But afterwards, she said that she had texted me a bunch, and she said she felt judged, and I didn't mean to judge her. I was looking around for myself first, mm-hmm. And I don't want to lose a friend, and I feel like I didn't want it to end that way. I'm not sure how to handle it.
Okay. You want to take
this?
Do you want to
jump in first? Yeah. Go for it.
All right, let's tag team. All right, so the first thing is that, congratulations. Let's start there. Congratulations for recognizing that you were triggered, removing yourself from the situation, and, setting a boundary. So, that can be really challenging to do, especially when you're in a triggered state. And a lot of times when we're in a triggered state, we can become very reactive. So kudos for you. Like, that's amazing that you were able to handle it the way that you did.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I think, the piece that around the trigger, that might be a part of something for you to work through around, okay, is it a fact of not feeling safe that, she, non-consensually hit somebody? Does that mean that you can't trust that she won't do that to you? Like, what is the bigger picture there? Because I think once you figure out what those pieces are, then you can really lean into setting those parameters, those boundaries, those interactions, what's okay, what's not okay, how you want to move with her around that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I if you're looking for a little more from me on this end, I was kind of getting mixed signals from her. I thought we were friends, but I didn't know maybe we'd go further kind of thing. You know what I mean? And I told myself that I would never get involved with someone who had done that. I think that's a good mm-hmm. boundary set. and so I didn't want to judge her, but I did want to look out for myself and say, I wanted to give her all the benefit of the doubt, and mm-hmm. it seemed like though that she seems like maybe she thought that's okay to do, so I didn't, and I tried to explain to her that it's not her, it's just what I've been through, and that's why I kind of have to leave, but she seemed to be hurt by it, and I could understand that, and so then I said I really should go. And it's not that I didn't feel safe with her. I just didn't, it brought up a lot of emotions from mm-hmm. my past that mm-hmm. I didn't want to do any more damage in the relationship. I just wanted to go and take some time to myself and maybe regroup a little bit, So.
Yeah.
Well,
Go ahead.
I was going to say that. All right, you go. I'll be quiet.
It sounds like you had really set a boundary for yourself to, I have a rule that I don't date people who are alcoholics, and I've gone out with people and hung out with them, and they, in their mind, don't see themselves as an alcoholic, but what I view as alcoholic behavior, then I have to remove myself because that's my rule. And it has nothing to do with a judgment on them. Those are their choices, But I know for me, I'm like, that's a hard line for me. So if that is a hard line for you, that, if this is a part of someone's past experience, that is not the company that you want to be with, then you absolutely have to respect that. Now, like what Gaia was saying, if you kind of go and you sit with this and you determine that maybe there's some flexibility there, that maybe, in this particular circumstance, you know this person well enough, or you're able to have conversations with her that clarifies so that you do feel safe and, that doesn't feel like a triggering issue. Obviously, you can revisit that, but it sounds like you already had kind of predetermined, like, okay, this is, this is my container. My container does not include people who have done this in the past. That's, that's the container that makes me feel safe. So I definitely get you, needing to remove yourself from the situation based on that you had set a precedence of like, this is not acceptable for the company that you involved with your, you know, in your life.
Yeah. And
I just don't want to lose a friend either. You know?
Yeah. But that's a piece that's, you know, yeah. I mean, the other option in that, you know, I would suggest is, you know, we've all made choices in our past.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so for me, one of the things is like, you know, if you've done something in your past, tell me how you've healed it so that you're not going, that you've course corrected your life so that you're not going to make that same choice. And if there's you know, they've gone to some therapy, they've done some healing, they've done some work around it, they've, you know, made some major life choices and changes, then it makes it something, it's no longer a current possibility. It's something that who they have to be. And I think that if that's the case, then that makes it easier for you to have somebody in your life that may have done something in the past that are a hard limit for you, but it's not who they are anymore. But if that isn't the case, the reality of a repeat of that is pretty likely. And so I think you having a hard limit of like, this is not okay for me, you know, you're really not really losing, I don't want to say this, losing a friend. You're not losing somebody that you really want to have in your life because that particular behavior is something that doesn't work for you in how you want to move in your world.
You're right. Yeah.
It's
tough. You know?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when we care about people, especially if we've established a relationship and then something comes to light, it can be challenging to renegotiate what that relationship looks like. I would say with regards to her feeling upset, you know, ultimately we're all responsible for our own feelings. And my guess would be that the feelings of judgment she's experiencing are an internal thing that, you know, that this came up and now she's having to look at herself in ways that maybe she hadn't before because you reflected something to her that she didn't maybe see previously, which was like the other side of her actions, you know, getting to see somebody else's response who had been on the receiving end of that. And having to look at that and think, oh, wow, like, you know, what is my role in how these things play out? And so, you know, that's where it's like it's definitely on her to sort out her feelings. And just like you, it sounds like you've really owned your part to say, like, this isn't a personal attack. This is me taking care of myself and, you know, trying to sort through my emotional well-being to determine, yeah, whether or not we, you know, we can be friends and what does that look like. But yeah, I absolutely love what Gaia said, you know, like, yes, we've all erred in our past. It's how you're moving forward and, you know, and what are you doing to make changes and choices now that set you up for a successful future where, you know, these patterns shift. So I think that's definitely a conversation to have if you feel like you do want to move forward with this.
And
well, thank you very
much.
I really appreciate it. Yeah.
And thanks for risking and sharing and calling in.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, keep
thank
it up.
You.
I'll keep listening.
All right.
Thank you, ladies.
Take care. Have a good night. Thank you. Bye.
You too.
Bye. All right. Man, you are so good. You are just on it. I love it. Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, obviously you've been at it for 12 years. So this is a big chunk of your life that you've really like poured your heart into this. So what got you started even in all of this? How did that get going for you?
So this is everybody's like favorite question to ask me, like, how'd you end up being you? So I always tell the story that this life chose me and it was my destiny, whether I wanted it or not. So basically And there was this pivotal moment that happened when I said yes to my destiny without realizing that's what was happening. I was about 14 or 15 years old, and my mother took me to this women's gathering. And I was like, where are the boys? Like, these are all weird women. They're like all these hippie women. They don't shave their armpits. They're all like feminist women. I'm like, you know, I'm like, where are the boys? I'm like, why are you bringing me here? Like, I was so mad, right? I was so mad. And so, you know, fast forward, I turn into one of those women. But anyways, at 14, I was not. Right. And I do shave, actually. So anyway, I'm hiding in the basement. I'm hiding in the basement from all these weird women. And I'm reading this book. And this woman in her late 60s, early 70s, which at 14, 15 is like ancient, by the way, you know, comes into the basement where I'm in and blurts out, I've never had an orgasm.
Wow.
And now a typical 14, 15-year-old girl would be like, oh, my God, that's disgusting, la, 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 and plug their ears. I didn't. I was like, I remember the feeling so, because I had already experienced orgasm at that point in my life. And I was like, I could not imagine living my whole entire life without that pleasure. It felt like it was like the worst thing I'd ever heard and the saddest thing I'd ever heard. So I put down my book and I walked over to her. And she was crying. She's like, it's too late for me. And I'm like, no, it's not. And I proceeded to teach her how she could masturbate to orgasm.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And in that moment, I had no idea that I was saying yes to my destiny. I didn't know that was what was happening in that moment. But that's exactly what ended up happening. Because after that moment, I could not, and I shit you not, I could not go anywhere without people talking to me about sex and their deep, dark secrets. I'd be staying at the bus stop and not saying anything. And some dude would start talking to me about his penis problems. I'd get into a cab and the cab driver would start telling me about his relationship issues. And my friends started giving out my phone number to random strangers. And I'd pick up the phone and people would be like, yeah, how do I have anal sex with my boyfriend? I'm like, who are you? I gotta get my phone number. I'm about ready to eat dinner, you know? So basically, you know, 12, 13 years ago, I finally said, okay, it's clearly time for me to step into, well, the universe actually said this, but, you know, it's time for me to fully step into this role that I'm always been meant to do. And, you know, and so I did. I, at that time, I owned a pottery and drumming teaching studio and doing a lot of art therapy. And so, like, art therapy with the community. And so I sold the business and I stepped fully into being a holistic sexual wellness specialist, basically. And, you know, now I have, like, boundaries and business cards and appointments. And my life is so much better. Because people talk to me about it anyways, right? So, like, now I have some parameters. I'm like, awesome. I'm frolicking right now. Here's my business card. Book an appointment.
That's great. I love it. I totally get it because it's like something, I don't know if it's just a presence, if it's an energy, but yeah, I mean, I have the same thing where people will tell me, they're like, it always starts, I've never told anyone this before, but, and it's like, but you suddenly feel compelled to tell me. And it's just so funny to me and very similar. I was just like, okay, clearly like this is a job. Like, you know, like I'm not giving it away anymore. this is my path.
And my favorite other thing that happens to, like you said, like I've never told anybody this. What usually happens to me is they start divulging all of this stuff before. It's almost like they aren't even aware that it's coming out of their mouth until it's already out of their mouth. And then they're like, I can't believe I told you that. No one knows that, right? And it's always that same expression. I'm like, don't worry, everybody does that. I'm like, here's my card. Let's have a session. Don't worry, you're a good company. Everybody does this.
I love it. So let's back up even just a little bit, because I mean, most 14-year-old girls, I'm at least when I was, you know, I felt like the anomaly of being someone who already had started masturbating, you know, I think around the age of like, well, I have early memories before I knew what an orgasm was, probably around like 5 or 6 of like self-pleasuring. But yeah, like I think around like 12 or so, like masturbating and understanding, like, you know, there was like this pinnacle moment in which I was like, oh, this is awesome. So did you self-discover this? Was it, were there books available? Were these conversations that were happening in your house? Was it, you know, a pretty like shame-free zone, or did you have to overcome some things to get to the place where you understood at that age, the power of your own pleasure?
So it's kind of twofold. So, so I'll talk about the unhappy fold first, and then we'll get to the good fold. All right. So I endured severe sexual trauma as a child. So I had already been sexually interfered with really, really young, like at one. So my own ability to find and connect to my body was not a space that I got to really discover, because it was it was enforced upon me early. So that's kind of one aspect, although I didn't have my memories until I was 17. So like I didn't have any conscious memory of it, but it was still there. So there was sexual interference that interfered in my own natural development. But then in my household, because none of that abuse happened in my, you know, immediate family stuff. So in my household, I grew up in a household where it was a very sex positive household, so sexual shame pieces of it. And so, you know, my mom used to always say, she would say, "You, if you don't masturbate, how, when you're going to have a lover, a partner, how are you supposed to teach them what you like if you don't know what you like?"
Right.
So it was very much encouraged in my household to go explore your body. The only rule was that you do it in your own bedroom. That was the rule. Do it in your bedroom. In the privacy of your own bedroom. But there was very much a positive space around, you know, that. And the other message was that you wait to have intercourse with somebody until you're in love. So those were like the two messages like that I got very clearly as a kid. So yeah, I started doing a lot of self exploration and play and, you know, pleasure and all those kind of things. And, you know, finding my orgasm, quite early on. And I don't know if it's because of the discovery or if or there's a definitely because of the sexual interference piece. I think there's a combination of both those pieces there.
Right. You and I are kindred spirits, girl. I am just like, yep, that's my story. And I love how you say sexual interference. I feel like that's so much more. Like, I'm like, oh my God, that feels so much better around my heart than like when I'm like, oh, I was sexually abused. And it always feels like, I'm like, oh, sexual interference. That feels like, oh, okay. Like, I'm going to start using that. That's really good.
Well, I feel like there's like from that place, there's that, you know, we kind of move through this evolutional healing process around trauma. And so I find that there's we're the victim, and then we're the survivor, and then we get to the place where we move into the thriving stage.
Yeah.
And so it's like to say, for me to say that's what it was. I mean, yes, it was traumatic. Yes, it was abusive. Yes, it was all those horrendous things. However, it at the baseline of it, it was sexual interference in my own sexual development. And so that's where I think it feels much lighter for me anyway, because I've done the healing work around it, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't say it that way, you know, 5 years ago, right? There's no way I could say it that way. Now I can say it that way because that was what it was. It interfered in my natural development because somebody interfered with it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that so makes sense. And thank you for giving me this new terminology, because that's where I feel like I've been stuck. Like I've done all this work. And so when I say the word abuse, I'm like, oh, it just doesn't resonate. Like it doesn't feel true. Like, yeah, you know, like you're saying, like if you're going to like define it and like, you know, get logistical about it. But like as far as my vibration goes, like that isn't where I vibrate anymore. Like that, you know, my transition and the integration of everything I've done that's just, that doesn't apply anymore. This idea of like, yeah, abuse and the victim mentality just isn't my truth. So, so yeah, like interference, like that totally makes sense. Like that absolutely resonates. So thank you for that. I just got help here as well.
And you're welcome.
I love it. So we only have a few minutes left. So I definitely want to be sure everybody knows how to find you. So you have your site, which is the Succulent Living. Is it succulentliving.com?
So I have two sites. So I have succulentliving.com for all of your sexual wellness needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then for all your BDSM education and wellness needs, you can visit me at empressgaia.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
great.
And then, you know, my podcast, which is My Orgasmic Life. And then I also host another podcast called Tickle.Life podcast, where, you know, I basically interview experts about their own personal sexual journeys and life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So those are all the places that you can find me. And then I teach a lot of online courses. I have tons. I think I have like 15 different courses, online courses.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I'm prolific when it comes to content creation. So,
I love it.
And come the fall, I'm actually just putting together my curriculum for my trauma recovery training for practitioners. So yeah, so that's all the ways that you can come spend time with me.
Oh, that's fantastic. And are you in Canada or you're in the East Coast? Where?
I'm in Canada.
You are in Canada.
Outside of Toronto. Yeah. Yeah. I'm in Ontario, outside of Toronto.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I love the wonders of technology that, like, here I am in Nashville and you're in Canada and we're making this happen and people all over the place are listening and watching. Love it.
I know. It's so beautiful, right? So wonderful.
Yeah. So great.
So thank you for having me on the show. Thanks for reaching out and saying, hey, come play with me.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't even know, like, somehow I think it was one of those Facebooks, like, this is someone we think, you know, and I'm like, sure. And then I was like, oh my God, this woman's amazing. And I started like watching your stuff and like, I'm just like, oh my God. And I was so excited when you said yes. I was like, yay. So thank you for coming to share your amazing stories and insight. And it's been an amazing conversation. I'm like, I could spend hours talking to you.
So we'll have to do another show. You'll just have to have me on for another show and talk about something else.
Yes. Yes, definitely. So are there any, like if there is like one book or one thing or something, if you're like, okay, you know, wherever you are in the journey, like this is like a piece of information you have to get your hands on, what would be that one thing that you would say, you know, go out and be sure you just read this, watch this?
Okay. So, I'm going to do some self-promotion.
Go for it. Hell yeah.
So I just created this spectacular online program called Sexual Skill Building, the Nuts and Bolts of Sex. And it is like, if you are having sex, you need to go through this program. There are so many things that you don't even realize that you don't know until you're like, oh. So it is like the best, most comprehensive of everything to do with sex.
I love it.
It will totally up your game.
Yes.
And if you already have a lot of game, you'll get even better.
Yeah. So we'll be sure to put the link to that in the Facebook Live and share that as well, so that everyone can jump in and get access to that. So thank you again so much, Gaia, for being here tonight. I really appreciate it. Thank you for navigating technical difficulties and making this happen.
You're welcome. And thanks for having me. It was wonderful.
Yeah, you have a beautiful evening. So many blessings
you
to you. And happy summer solstice.
Yes,
All right. Take care. Bye.
All right, bye.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and watching. I am Christiane Bella. This has been the Sexual Inclusion Network. Sin is in. With 10 seconds to go, we are saying farewell to you. And thank you so much for joining us. Blessings.